breath necessary for life. And I know as I get older, I'm more appreciative of breath every day. And you know, a lot of times it may just be from climbing three flights of steps, and then when I'm at 52, I'm like, right? Catch your breath, man. But I'm not talking about that kind. Today I'm talking about those times when sometimes you just want to sit down and you want to catch your breath because your soul's tired. And that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit today, because life is going so fast sometimes that we can almost barely keep up with our breathing. Maybe you would say it's a crazy life at sometimes. It's a crazy busy life at times. How many people have you ever greeted them with the question, so, hey, how you doing? And a lot of times they'll say, busy, man, busy, right? I've never yet had anybody when I say, man, how you doing? Well, don't have much going on, don't have much anything to do. Right? Nobody says that unless you're 5 years old or 105 years old, like, right? Got nothing else to do. Got nothing going on. We're all very busy, crazy busy. Like last week, if I think about it, it's a blur. Like, well, if I'm honest, yesterday was a blur, right? My youngest is graduating this year. And so like from the rest of this month until the first week of June, it's crazy busy for Jeff and Jody Boyer and our family. He just went to prom last night, had a great time. We had the prom kids over at our house, and we fixed the meal. So Jody did the chicken, and I did the fillets, and we served them, and then they went. And then you got to, you know, if you're a parent, you stay up because you got to make sure they get home and in bed and safe under your roof again, and you're just tired, and you're busy. And then graduation's coming, and we're going to lose our marbles because we're the last one to leave the house. And it's just that kind of season for us. And I don't know what your season's like, but I bet you're crazy busy too. And yet, you know, when we ask the question, how you doing? And said, man, I'm just busy. Do you hear, there's like a little bit of pride in that, and yet at the same time, a little bit of exasperation. I mean, there's pride in that because like to say you're not busy, it's like, well, then you're lazy. Like you don't do anything. So like, I'm busy. It's almost like we have to validate our importance and our worth by being busy. And yet at the same time, if we're honest, we're like busy. It's this vague awareness of I'm paying the price for this pace of life that I'm attempting to keep. I don't know about you. Maybe you can recognize and maybe not. Sometimes I don't think we're always good at recognizing how busy we are and how tired we are, a crazy busy life. You always feel like you're in a hurry. Anybody feel like that? I mean, this message is for everybody, but moms, I really want you to tune in today. Regardless of what age and stage of life you are as a mom, do you always feel like you're in a hurry? Or more than one person has maybe told you, hey, slow down, right? Or you feel guilty when you relax. Like, I got to keep going because I got the stuff that has to get done. I can't sit down and relax. I can't take a nap. You have to get sick before you slow down. And some of you still don't do that very well. Or how about this? You often feel distant or distracted from your family or friends. Do you know it's possible to be present and not be present? And that's a sign of busyness. Well, today's message, I want you to know out of the gate, it's not about learning more. This is not a message about you gaining more knowledge. This is a message about an acknowledgement. It's about making choices, I hope, that allow you to collectively catch your breath right here. See, most of us live this crazy busy life because if we're honest, if we really look and be honest with ourselves, we're overloaded. That word overloaded, it means to load too heavily. It means ever come to the point that you feel like you've exceeded your abilities, you're overloaded because you just added one more commitment. You've added one more expectation, one more debt. You've added one more option to your already crazy busy life. When you're overloaded, it's whenever the load upon you exceeds what you're able to bear. I learned that in a very practical way several years ago. I was trying to get something out of our attic in our garage. It's got one of those, you know, you just got to pop the thing up, but there's no pull-down ladder. So I had to get the step ladder out, and I get the ladder up, and I crawl up, and I don't need Jody's help. I can just do this, right? That's the last thing I remember. I remember looking up at that square hole and going, ow. Jody heard me yell. She comes running out. Yeah, you know, they put these things on there. I just didn't pay attention. Not to exceed 200 pounds includes user and materials. I'm thinking, what's the problem? I'm 195. Okay, you don't buy it either. But anyways, I'm 200 pounds. Okay, I get it. I exceeded the limit. And you know, and it even says, like, don't step above this. Yeah, well, you know, I did. And so now I'm paying the price looking up at the hole in the attic. Do you ever do that, though? Do you ever exceed your load limitations? See, some of us are crazy busy because we're overloaded. Some of us were just overstretched. Overstretched means you're too stretched too much, too hard, too fast. You overstretch when you put excessive demands or pressures upon yourself. Can we be honest? Does this culture do that to you? Does your family, does your spouse, do your kids, or do you do it to you? Put too much excessive demands and pressure upon yourself. You know, because what happens is we're like a rubber band. And over time, we just keep stretching and stretching and stretching and stretching, right? And eventually, what happens is, eventually, if I kept doing that, over time, it'll lose its elasticity, right? Or if you add overload with overstretching, that's too much for the rubber band, and you keep doing that, what happens? Eventually, that hurts. It hurts. And that's awfully hard to put back together again, is it not? And sometimes we do that with our lives. There was a man by the name of Job in the Old Testament. Now, his pressures all, I think, came from the outside in. He was being tested. He lost his family, lost his home, he lost his physical health. You talk about somebody who probably felt overloaded, overstretched in every imaginable way. Here's what he said. I have no peace. I have no quiet. I have no rest. And trouble keeps coming. I wonder if you walked in here today, man, you like, that's me. I feel like that's me, especially that last part. Trouble keeps coming. Is it all from the outside or is some of it coming from the inside, my friend? Are you exceeding your limits? Because here's what the Bible teaches. Everything has limits. Buildings and bridges and, yes, even ladders, they have limits. They have load limits. They have structural limits. Did you know emotionally we have limits, right? And if you exceed those limits, your body will tell you. If you'll listen to it, you'll have ulcers. You'll get canker sores. You'll have an outbreak of acne. Your blood pressure will rise. Some of us have mental limitations, some more than others. And what I mean by that is though, sometimes some, do you ever have those people that could just walk in and don't have to study for an exam, they just take it, and you're the one who had to cram all night long? Have you ever been in studying for those exams when you were back in school and you realize, man, I can't take any more of this. I'm like on information overload. The pastors here, we go to a conference down in Texas in November, and they have pastor after pastor after pastor after pastor, like five or six sermons, it's good stuff. And I'm like going out of there going like, oh my goodness, right? It's like just so much to take in. We have mental limitations. We have physical limitations. You push that body too far, it'll scream. It'll tell you, right? You'll get stress fractures, an enlarged heart. You'll have internal pressure that pops out in forms of hernias. We have relational limitations. You can choose friends, very, very close friends, and you can have acquaintances. I think of my life like Legos, right? I've only got so many spots for so many people. And once that's filled up, not taking any more friend applications, as one of my friends likes to say, right? I'm not. But I don't know how you're wired. I'm wired like this. I only need a few close, very close friends, the people I let in my inner circle that I'll tell anything to. I like a lot of friends. I like to be acquaintances with a lot of people. But at some point, you can only handle so many relationships at a healthy level. There's limitations. The psalmist said it like this. I have learned that everything has limits. Unfortunately for many of us, if you're like me, we're sometimes not very adept at recognizing what those limits are. Most of us, over time, we overestimate our abilities and we overestimate our limitations and loads. Going back to Job again, he was speaking of God. He says, a person's days are determined. You, God, have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. See, the Bible's all about limitations, and you can't go past those. There are physical limitations. You know, if I came down here, you know, and I took the little guy and said, come on, man, I'm going to carry you out. Could I carry him out physically? Do you think I could do it? Yeah. Could I throw his mom and dad and his family that are all back there? Come on, y'all, get on here, let's go. No way, Jose. I'm not that strong. I have a physical limitation. Here's the other question. Think about that from an emotional limitation. Could I take his burden upon me? Absolutely. Could I even take his mom and dad's burden and make it mine? Yeah, I probably could emotionally. But is there a point where there's only so many people's burdens that you can bear? At what point do you have to set limits? Do you have to set boundaries? At what point do you say, wait, I can't handle all this anymore? Some of you may be at that place right now, emotionally, physically. Maybe some of you are there financially. There's financial limitations. There are some of you in this room right now, you're over your head in debt. You're living beyond your means. You have maybe credit problems. You overspent your limits. That can be really tough and feel suffocating. Perhaps the sign in a loan office says it best. I like this. This loan office is very interesting. Notice its name. No Savings and All Loans Office. We'll loan you enough money to get you completely out of debt. I'm not sure about that one, right? That may be a part of the problem. We have time limitations. Doesn't matter how many books you read or seminars you attend about time management. You only got 24 hours, my friend. There is no time fairy that's going to come and sprinkle any magic dust on you. Now you have 29 hours. And even if there was a time fairy who had magic dust and sprinkled 29 hours on me, I'm pretty sure I would overextend those as well in a matter of short time. So here's the question that I want you to weigh in your heart this morning. In what areas are you exceeding your limits and your loads today? Where have you become overloaded and overstretched? And how does that make you feel? Because God is clear, everything has limits. God created limits to, watch this, he does it to protect you, and he sets them to provide for you. Even Jesus Christ, when he walked the face of this earth, God as man, he had limits. There's no indication that Jesus worked 50 hours a week or more. Jesus went to sleep each night without having healed every disease in Israel. Jesus didn't visit everybody. There were many needs that Jesus did not meet at the expectation level that others had for him. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches this. Jesus often pulled away from the crowds. Why? To have some solitude, alone time, to talk and pray with his heavenly Father. If Jesus would model limitations, why would we not think we would need to also use some in our lives? It's okay to have to set limits, my friend. You must resolve yourself to set limits, to create some boundaries. Because too much activity in your life, too busy, overloaded, overstretched, always connected to this hurried pace of life, this unsustainable life, is not what God had in mind for you. Some of you walked in this room. If you're honest, here's what you're saying today. Man, I just need some breathing room. Do you need some breathing room today? We call it something different, and that's the term that we throw out there, but it's otherwise, breathing room is known as margin. And margin is simply this. It's the amount allowed beyond that which is absolutely needed. Think about it. The books that you read, every book that you read that's a good book, it has margins in it, doesn't it? Have you ever saw a book that had no margins? Like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to read that book. But I like the books that have margins, get some extra space. Sometimes I'll take notes and write in those margins, right? Or the highway that you drive on when you go out on State Road 13 as you travel down, except when they're doing all that crazy work, right? But there's what they call the shoulder. There's 3 feet. There's not 3 inches there. Or how many on an airplane? Maybe you're like me. Man, I make it as fast as I can to the middle of the plane. Do you know why? Because that's where the exit rows are at. And that's where big boys like to sit with long legs and big bony knees that stick out, right? I want the extra margin. I want the extra space. Or maybe for you, it's personal space, right? A lot of people do the like ruler rule, right? I'm like two ruler rule, right? That's where I want you, right there. But I was at a church one time. We had a custodian, and she did not understand even the ruler rule. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. She had to talk to you. It was like, right here. I mean, I'm not kidding. I thought she was going to kiss me a couple times. I had to do that. She'd back up. I'm like, now you get it, right? Stay away. Give me some space here. Here's the cool part about it. I don't know how she did it. God is my witness. She always had fresh breath, though. I'm like, well, if you're going to get close, at least we can handle this deal, right? Margin, that which is held in reserve for contingencies. Margin, you need margin because there's going to be unanticipated situations and circumstances that come into your life. And my friends, that margin, listen to me, that margin, that's the gap. That's the gap between rest and exhaustion. That margin, that's the gap between breathing and suffocating. Margin, that's the gap between life and just going through the motions. You cannot, you must not continue to live this unsustainable life that some of you are trying to live. And today, God is inviting you, he's inviting me, he's inviting we away from the edges to a life with limits, to a life with margin. If you have a Bible, join me. A quick story I want to share with you from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. If you've grown up around the church, I'm sure you've heard this story before, but it begs to be told in this situation. Luke, chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, Jesus, and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Look at the picture. Martha is like crazy busy. Mary is relaxing and sitting at the feet of Jesus, intently listening to every word that he speaks. Martha, she's being a good hostess. She wasn't wrong in making preparations for her guest and his arrival or for leveraging her gift of hospitality, especially for Jesus. But the Bible says this, she becomes distracted. Notice, by all the preparations. It's not a bad thing. It's not like she's glued to her smartphone. It's not like she's sitting there just watching TikTok videos, right? It's not like she's texting all her friends and not doing anything. It's not like she's taking B-reels like, in the kitchen when she's doing all the preparations and sending it all to her friends and family. She's busy, but she's distracted. She's distracted. I want you to catch this by serving. It's a good thing. I mean, think about it. Someone has to put the leaf in the table to make it longer for all the guests that are coming over. Somebody has to mix the drinks. Somebody has to set the table. Somebody has to preheat the oven. Somebody has to prepare the meal. Somebody has to then put the meal on the table. And after the meal's over, somebody's got to do the dishes. After all, the dishes aren't going to do themselves. She's busy. She's got many things to take care of. And this is what Martha's feeling. This is what Martha sees. That's how many of you feel today. That's how many of you might see as most important. It's just not the way that Jesus sees things. All the preparations, it wasn't bad. It was good. I mean, crying out loud, Martha's serving others is a good thing. But it went too far. Martha crossed over a line, and Jesus comes to her and says, Martha, Martha. That's how some of you hear it, aren't you? It's not how it says. He says, oh, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. There's still so much that needs done, though. Am I the only one that sees all that still needs to be done? Why doesn't anyone else see this? Why doesn't anyone else chip in and help me? Mary, why don't you get off your duff, come over here in the kitchen and help me? I can't believe Jesus is cool with this. Jesus, don't you care that I am doing all of this by myself? Do you hear it? And Mary's concern now becomes Mary's issue, and in turn, it now becomes Jesus' problem. But listen to me, my friends, when Jesus becomes the problem and is at fault, you better start looking inside. Jesus is never the problem. He's always the solution. Jesus says, look at that. Martha, Martha, you're so distracted by your serving, you're no longer any fun to be around. Oh, wait, no, Jesus didn't say that. I said that. That was me. My bad. I wonder if Jesus thought it. Probably not. He's the Son of God. I thought it. You're not even fun to be around anymore, Martha. You're so tense. You're so worried and upset about so many things. You ever had one of those awkward and tense moments when you're sitting around the dinner table with friends and family, maybe, and everyone's having an enjoyable, relaxed conversation when all of a sudden someone begins to spout off at another person around the table and everything, and everybody comes to a hush and all the heads turn and you like lean over to the person seated next to you. What just happened? What was that about? You been there? And you feel for the person who just received this unexpected tongue lashing because the way the offender just acted towards them makes you want to hide for them. This is Martha. Martha had had it. She walks in and she begins to tell Jesus what to do. Now that's interesting to me because Jesus is the guest. All of these many preparations were for Jesus. And now Jesus is the problem. Martha got so distracted, she got so overloaded and overstretched by all of the to-doing that she lost perspective. She became worried and upset, and the internal pressure came out upon her family and her guest. The things that she was initially doing for Jesus, she's now doing for Martha. It all started with good intentions. I'm going to host Jesus. It ended up trying to meet the needs of Martha, even to the point of interrupting Jesus while he's talking. You ever got caught up in the details and the doings? Got so worried and upset that the many things that you take it out on everybody else around you? You begin to criticize and degrade everybody else because you're supposedly doing all this stuff for? Martha got distracted. Distracted, it's an easy word to understand. It means to lose track of. It means to get off course. Martha started on track. She got off course. And Jesus, noticing this, he says to Martha, in essence, my paraphrase, Martha, I've been watching you from a distance. I've noticed that you are just mentally and emotionally caught up in these many things. And you're convinced that these things are so important. More important than that is what has happened in the living room with me. But Martha, one thing is needed. It's being with Jesus. It's being with me. You think you need all these many things to get done, but you don't. See, the thing that you're trying to satisfy, the hole in your heart that you're trying to fill with all of this activity and effort and busyness, well, it's just leaving you worried, upset, and frustrated. Now you're criticizing your family, and you're even criticizing me. And Martha, the one thing that you do need, the one thing that you lost sight of in all of this is me. I think Jesus looks at her and says, listen, when you invited me over to your house, you probably had that one thing in mind, but you've become so distracted by all of the preparations for my arrival that you lost track that the most important thing is, and you know she hated to hear these next words. She just hated it when he said it. Mary's chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And you got to know that just cut hard in Martha's heart. Martha wasn't doing anything that wasn't good. But according to Jesus, it was not what was best. If you walked in here today and you need some breathing room, if you want to live with some margin in your life, you will often have to choose between that which is good and that which is better or best. I'm asking you today to choose what is better. See, the reality is this. This is true, my friend. You have a choice today. You do. When you and I, though, begin to squeeze the margins out of our lives, we often squeeze God out too. If you listen closely, you'll hear it. Well, I just got so busy. You know, we've just been so busy, we haven't had time to be at church. We've just been so busy that, God, I haven't had time to be in the Word and to commune with you. I've just gotten so busy. I hear you, my friend, but those are all excuses. And those are choices that you and I make that are called priorities. And choose what is better. You have a choice to make. But here's the thing. Sometimes when we don't make the right choice, God helps us. I want you to make the choice today so God doesn't have to help you as much. Because if it's time that you need, God can give you that time. He can rearrange that for you. Right? If I were your boss and you come to me as an employee and say, hey, boss, here's the thing, man. I can't do as good a work for you as I'd like to, and I can't put in any overtime because here's the thing. I'm just so busy spending all the money you give me in my paycheck. I can fix that for you. I can fix that. See, I'm just so busy. I don't have time. Here's what's interesting to me. It's amazing how quickly a man or a woman who has a heart attack can find margin in their life that they never had before. All of a sudden, their schedule changes because it has to. They don't have a choice. Their diet changes. Exercise is now incorporated into a daily lifestyle. Those things they never had time for, all of a sudden, the time becomes mysteriously available to them. You have a choice. You will live within limits. Limits that the culture and others push you to. Limits that you choose. Or the third one I like best, limits that your heavenly Father invites you into. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and tired, and I will give you rest. For my burden is light, and my yoke, it's easy. My prayer for you this day is that God would give you the discernment, the ability to look at your own soul and determine, where am I overloaded and where am I overstretched? See, we're not always really good at that, or we're not very honest. I'm praying that God will give you an honest discernment to say, okay, here's where I'm overloaded, here's where I'm overextended and stretched. And then my second part of my prayer for you today is this. I pray that then God would give you the wisdom and the desire, in light of the discernment now that you have, to choose what is best. It's a crazy busy life, yes. But prioritize around the one thing, my friend. Prioritize around the better thing, the best thing, the one thing that will not be taken away from you. But it starts today by doing this. Watch. Breathe. Just breathe. Come and rest at Jesus' feet and be. Just be. We're going to close with a song, and I hope you feel the intensity of it. It starts up deep, and then it tells us to breathe, to choose what is better today. I hope that you'll do that. Would you stand? I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to go to the song. If you know the song, feel free to sing along. It's probably new to some of you. God, today, I thank you for your word that's true. God, for each male and female in this room today, help us just to slow down a second, catch our breath. God, as you give us discernment, as we look at our life, and if we're honest, you've been telling us to slow down. Sometimes I hear you say, oh, Jeff, you are worried and upset about so many things. Choose me today. come and sit. Yes, you can relax. You don't have to be about all the doing. Just come and be a being in front of me and let me have your presence. And allow God's Spirit to breathe upon you, my friend. To fill the hole in your heart that you're trying to satisfy by all your activity and movement. Let God, would you just be still and know that He is God and not you. And trust Him in that. God, today, help us to breathe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Scream, bare feet hit the floor. Stop to the races, everybody's out the door. I'm feeling like I'm falling behind. It's a crazy life.